You care to open your Bible to two passages of scriptures. First, if you would, find Matthew chapter 8. Kind of mark that, hold it with your finger, mark it, and then open to 1 Kings chapter 18. I'm going to talk to you for just a minute this morning about something that's been on my mind and heart a great deal this last couple of weeks. Matthew chapter 8. And then 1 Kings chapter 18. I think it's safe for us to say that we are living in troubling times. This week, Brother Aaron Simpson was told he has a cancerous mass in his spleen, and he's doing tests this week, quarantining now and doing some tests this week so they can know how to go about treating him. Brother Ralph Brown's going through treatments for cancer now. So many others are sick, they're heartbroken, they're recovering, they're in great, great difficulty. Many, many people are. It's heartbreaking to me to see folks suffering like that. Then we see some are turning political and personal opinions into matters of faith and making them and making others take their eyes off of faith in Christ alone. And it's heartbreaking. It's just so heartbreaking to me. On top of all that, in case anybody has forgotten, the land is still in the grips of a pandemic that is making life very difficult. As I think about those things, as I think about them a lot, my prayer is twofold. Number one is this: Lord, reveal your glory. Oh, would you show us your glory? Would you show us your glory in this day? Just let it shine forth in the darkness. Show people there's still a God in Israel. And number two, my prayer is this: Lord, heal our land. Heal our loved ones of our land of this sickness, physically and spiritually. Lord, heal our land. And from these two scriptures, I'll show you where I get this twofold prayer. 1 Kings chapter 18. Look first at verse 21. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. It's like Joshua said, Choose you this day who you're going to serve. Choose. And the people answered him not a word. You know the story of the false prophets of Baal. Look over now at verse 30. And Elijah said unto all the people, Come near unto me. And all the people came near unto him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. And Elijah took 12 stones, according to the number of the tribes of the son of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he made a trench about the altar, as great as would contain 2 measures of seed. And he put the wood in order, and cut the bullock in pieces, and laid him on the wood. And said, Fill 4 barrels with water, and pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood. And he said, Do it the second time. And they did it the second time. And he said, Do it the third time. And they did it the third time. And the water ran round about the altar, and he filled the trench also with water. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, that Elijah the prophet came near, and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, Let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, The Lord, He is the God. The Lord, He is the God. That's a good prayer for us. Let it be known this day, Thou art God in Israel. Now, look over Matthew chapter 8. Here's the second part of my twofold prayer. Matthew chapter 8, verse 1. And when he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, there came a leper. and worshiped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And that's my prayer. Lord, show us your glory. Show that you are the God in Israel. And Lord, heal our land. Physically and especially spiritually. Lord, if you will, you can make us clean. Let's bow together. Our Father, which art in heaven, holy and reverent is your matchless name. Father, we have met here this morning to hear a word from thee, with a great need to hear a word from God Almighty and to worship you. Father, I pray that you would, by your Spirit, enable us this morning to hear a word from thee, to hear and to believe, to rest in our Lord Jesus Christ. That you give us a heart of true worship, that we might worship you in spirit and in truth, to worship you from the heart, that we might praise and worship your matchless, precious name. Father, I thank you that this is the day appointed that we can meet together and to worship. We thank you for this gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for him. Oh, how we thank you for your mercy and your grace to sinners. And in your untold love and mercy, you've given this gospel to us. You've given it to many here who believe. Oh, how we thank you for your mercy and your grace. You've given us this gospel to preach, to tell folks about the Lord Jesus Christ, who he is and what he's accomplished for his people. Father, make us faithful stewards of this glorious gospel that you've given us to preach, and enable us always to believe it, to hear it as needy, helpless sinners. And Father, we do pray, as we've just read, Lord, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, that you're saving your people, calling them out, keeping them, comforting them, encouraging them, carrying them all the way to glory. And Lord, would you heal our land? Heal our land of this dread plague. And heal our land spiritually. Lord, you're able to cause a great revival in this land, where you show your glory, call your people out of darkness to the glorious light of our Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, for those who are suffering trial and hurting, we pray for them. We pray for Aaron. We pray for Ralph, who's going through these treatments for such a horrible disease, and so many others, Father, who are suffering. Oh, God, be with your people. Comfort their hearts and heal them. Heal their bodies, we pray. And give them a fulfillment of your promise that you give grace sufficient for the trial. Be with them every moment, we pray. Father, I beg of you that you'd forgive me for my much speaking, and that you would see us and hear us only in our Lord Jesus Christ. There's so much we have to say that's on our hearts, and whom have we to turn to but thee? Father, give us the grace now to leave these things at thy feet, knowing thou doest all things well. All these things we ask, and we give thanks, and we praise you in that name which is above every name. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Lover of my soul, let me to thy bosom fly. While the nearer waters roll, while the tempest still is, Lebanon hangs my helpless soul on thee. Leave me not alone, still support and comfort me. All my trust on
Now let's open our Bibles to our text this morning, 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. I've titled the message this morning, Be Active. Be Active. Let's read our text and then come back and make some comments on it. Verse 11, 1 Timothy chapter 4. These things command and teach. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers, in word and conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, and the laying on of hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto thee doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Like I said, the title of my message is Be Active. Now we know and we believe that we are saved, sinners are saved by grace through faith. And none of our works contribute to that salvation, either before or after conversion. That's what we believe. Salvation is by God's work alone. Salvation is by the free gift of God's grace alone, so that God gets all of the glory in the salvation of His people. Salvation is received by faith that is God-given. God gives it as a free gift. We don't earn it. We don't deserve it. We don't conjure it up. Salvation is received as a free gift of God's grace. Faith, the gift of faith that God gives to His people. And since we didn't contribute any of that, we didn't make any of that up, God gets all the glory and the salvation of His people, doesn't He? We know that. We believe that. But this is also true. The believer is to have good works. And those good works are, in Scripture, told to us, that they're defined as serving God's people, serving the people of God, the body of Christ. So every believer is to be active in the service of our God, in His kingdom, in the church. Now, 1 and 2 Timothy are what are called pastoral epistles, because Paul wrote this letter to a young pastor with instructions to him for the ministry. But now, these epistles are not just to pastors. If they were, they wouldn't be in the Word of God. They're for every believer. This instruction is to every believer. So every believer is to be active in the kingdom of God, serving God. And you might wonder, I'm not a public person. Most of you have absolutely no desire to preach or be in, seen in public, to serve publicly in that way. And you might wonder, well, how can I be active? What is it that I can do? Well, I'm going to give you seven ways from our text that every believer is to be active. Number one is this: be active in commanding and obeying. Verse 11, these things command and teach. Now, Paul says here, command, it's my addition, obey. But command and obey what? Well, not the law, not the Mosaic law, because righteousness doesn't come by our obedience to the law, does it? What Paul means here, the commandment is to command the gospel. When you preach, you give it as a commandment. The gospel is not an invitation to sinners to try and see how many people might come to the party. The gospel is a commandment. It's a commandment from God. You believe on Christ. The gospel is a commandment. You come to Christ. You repent of your sins. And you repent not just of your sins, you repent of the very best things you've ever done. Whatever it is you've done you think might make God happy with you, that might make you, you know, appear better than your neighbor, that so-called righteousness, what Scripture calls filthy rags, you repent of that. You turn from that. You turn from trusting in that, and you turn to Christ and trust Him to be your all. Now, that's not just a good idea. That's a commandment from God. And this is what Paul's telling Timothy. When you preach the gospel, don't preach it begging men to do something. You preach the gospel as God has given it to us as a commandment to trust Christ to be your all, as a commandment to come to Christ. And I preach this commandment to you, fully expecting you to obey it, fully expecting you to come to Christ. The only reason somebody hasn't come to Christ is they haven't seen Him. If you see Him, you'll come to Him. Now, this is a sweet commandment to a guilty sinner, to trust Christ, isn't it? Believe on Him. Come to Him for forgiveness. Come to Him for cleansing. That's a sweet commandment, but it's still a commandment from the King. So preach Christ as He is. And to those of us who are not preachers, I say this: only listen to a man preaching Christ as he is. Don't just listen to some man, you know, with religious jargon. Only listen to a man preaching Christ as he is. Paul told Titus in chapter 2, verse 15, he said, these things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise you. Now, how is it that we're gonna preach with all authority? Is it just like, I've got all this authority and you've got to listen to me and do what I... No, sir. Now, that's not the authority we're talking about. We speak with all authority because our authority comes from the Word of God. If I'm saying what God says, if I'm saying what God says in His Word, I say it with all authority, with no reservation, with no thought it could be wrong. We speak with all authority when we say what God says in His Word. So command these things. But I would add this to us as a very serious warning. Obey this commandment. Obey this commandment. Don't become gospel hardened. I think it's the most dangerous thing in this world, that someone would become gospel hardened. And when you become gospel hardened, this is what you think. The preacher turns to his text and starts to talk, and you think, well, I already heard that. I already know that. Everybody else hadn't heard it. Everybody else needs to hear it, but I don't need to hear that again. I've already heard that. When we start listening to the gospel like that, we're not obeying the gospel. We've become self-righteous. When we become... I don't need to hear it. Now, so-and-so needs to hear that. You know, the rest of the world needs to hear that. I mean, they're not here, so they ain't going to hear it. If I'm here, I need to hear it. We start thinking, oh, I don't need to hear this. Somebody else needs to hear this. You know what we've done? We've taken the very message that God given to us that declares our sinfulness, our depravity, our deadness in sin, and we've twisted it into taking that gospel message to make it ourselves better than somebody else. Self-righteous is all it is. To make us a little less dependent than the sinful world out there has never heard of Christ. Oh, don't do that. Listen to obey the gospel, to believe Christ. When we start listening to the gospel like this, know-it-all, I heard that before, I don't need to hear that again. We've become self-important. We've taken the very message that declares we are nothing and Christ is all and turned it, twisted it into something where we think we're something else. We're better than the sinners out there in the world. Don't listen to the gospel like that. Brother Henry said you're better off. You who hear the gospel regularly, yeah, by God's grace you're better off, but you're no better. No better. No. Don't get so busy commanding. Don't get so busy dispelling, disseminating all your great theological knowledge that you forget to obey the gospel yourself. And to obey the gospel is to believe Christ. Now obey, believe Him. Don't put any trust at all in the works of your flesh, what you do, what you don't do. Listen to the gospel as a needy sinner who needs Christ, who needs to be forgiven, who needs to be cleansed, who needs God to hold me. Be active in this matter of bowing to Christ and constantly putting off the old man, putting off the flesh and his deeds, and trusting Christ. And I'll tell you one good way to help you do that. Regularly listening to the gospel as a needy sinner. And I'll help you. Now be active in commanding and obeying. Number two, be active in teaching and being taught. Paul says these things command, verse 11, and teach. Teach. Now we're to teach the scriptures. We're to teach the gospel. We're to teach Christ. Next Sunday morning, Lord willing, at 10 o'clock, we're going to begin our Bible classes again, both for the children and the adults. I'm so looking forward to that. To teach the Word. Teach the Word. Teach Christ. Teach the Word for this reason, so that the folks who hear, so their faith is founded on the Word of God. I don't know what you think and what you say, what you know some famous writer said. Teach the Word of God so people's faith is founded on the Word of God, on Christ alone. Teach people to look to Christ. Teach people, constantly remind them, don't trust your flesh and don't trust anybody else's flesh, but trust Christ. Teach people to live right. Teach people to do the right thing. But not to trust in how they live. But to trust Christ. Now you can do that. Do right. Live right. You all know that. This thing about telling people how to live. You already know how to live. You know right from wrong. You know don't lie. You know don't steal. You know don't cheat. You already know that. Do right. But don't trust in that. Trust in Christ. See that? And if we're taught long enough, eventually we should be able to teach a little something to somebody else. I mean, maybe you don't want to teach in the pulpit. Maybe you don't want to teach in the class. But you can teach at home, can you? Can't you teach your family? Can't you teach your children? If somebody asks you a question, can't you, you know, on the job or a neighbor or something, could you teach them something? Look to Christ. But before we can teach anything, we've got to be taught. I mean, you teachers, you didn't just roll out of bed and start teaching. You had to go to school, didn't you? You had to be taught before you can teach. Well, same thing's true spiritually. So be able to teach. But always be teachable. Always be teachable. Always listen to the gospel as a learner. As a learner. Even teachers of the word are always learners. You know, I go to other places to preach, especially to a conference or something. Invariably, you know who the best listeners are? Other pastors. I'm out there preaching and thinking, these fellas. I remember the very first time I preached, Henry sat behind, he didn't go out here. He sat behind me. There's Cecil Roach sitting there. I'm like, you know the best listeners was? The best listeners are good teachers. Hungry to hear. Hungry to hear of Christ one more time. So be active in being a good student, in being a good learner. You know, and people, they graduate and they're out working in the job, and you know, and they go back to school to get continuing education, their master's or something. You know, they're very active in it. They put a lot of effort into getting this thing done because it'll help them professionally. You know, when I was in college, I like to take night classes. Now, I started out taking some night classes so I could sleep in the morning and not have to have an 8 o'clock class. But what I found out taking night classes is this: that class is filled with people who got a job. They're working all day, and then they come to this class, their continuing education, to get their master's or something. And it just goes better when the place is full of serious students. And you got a group project, and your group is a bunch of people who are serious about this thing. Oh, it goes so much better, so much nicer. Well, make that true about us spiritually. Be a good student. Be serious about being taught Christ for your own benefit, so you can teach others, but also so that you'll know who Christ is, so that you believe Him and follow Him. All right, number three, be active in reading God's Word. Verse 13, Paul says, "Till I come, give attendance to reading." Now, this phrase, "give attendance," it means to take heed. Now, you give attendance to this, take heed to it, it's important. And secondly, it means to be addicted to. Be addicted to. Now, Paul doesn't mean being addicted to reading the old writers or reading commentaries. You know people like that. What he means is, be addicted. Take heed, pay attention to this, to the reading of the Word of God. Read it, not just so you can say, "I read a chapter today," but read it to be taught. You know, rather than read two or three chapters, why don't you try reading one verse and asking God, "Show me what that means. Show me Christ in that, so I believe Him, so I trust Him, so I see His glory in it." Read the Word to be taught in it. You know, it really is amazing how often that you'll be reading something. You'll be at home and you'll be reading something and thought, "I don't know what that means. I wonder what that means." And before you know it, that very passage is brought up in a message and it's explained, and it's such a blessing to you. Well, all that happened because you're reading the Word of God. That's where it began. Now, I counsel you, make much of the Word of God. It's so important to the life of a believer. Let me give you just a couple things here. Read the Scriptures so that you're given life from the Word. The seed that God uses to give spiritual life is this book. So read it. Take heed to it. James says in chapter 1, verse 18, "Of His own will begat He us with the Word of truth." If you would have spiritual life, avail yourself to the seed. Read the Word. Read the Scriptures to be given saving faith in Christ. Romans 10:17. "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by what? The Word of God." If you would be given faith, be in the Word. Read the Word of God so that spiritually that you're fed, so that you grow stronger in grace and stronger in faith and stronger in the knowledge of the Savior. 1 Peter 2:2. "As newborn babes desire," give heed to this, be addicted to it, "desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby." And then read God's Word to be comforted. Anybody here need comfort for your heart? Read God's Word to be comforted. 1 Thessalonians 4:18. "Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." These words. Read the Scriptures to be instructed, to be influenced by the Word. Psalm 119:9. "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto, according to thy word." The Word. Be addicted to the Word of God, so that you need to hear it, that you crave to hear the message of Christ from the Word. And when I say that, I mean this. Hear the Word for yourself. Hear the Word preached. Read God's Word to find out what God says to you. One of my favorite things Brother Nybert has said, and there's many of them, but I love this. He said, "The Word of God never tells somebody else how to treat me. It always tells me how to treat somebody else. This Word has instruction for me
not somebody else. The Word is talking to me, somebody else. And this is what I read in God's Word.
That I am to hear it.
That I am to believe Christ. That I am to bow to Christ. I know everybody's supposed to, but the Word tells me to love Christ and to love His people. The Word says I am to follow Christ. Now that's what you'll find when you read God's Word. Make much of the Word of God. Be addicted to it. Be active in it. Right? Fourthly, be active in exhorting and being exhorted. Verse 13, Paul says, so I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation. That word exhortation, I think a lot of times somebody hears this word exhortation and you get the impression of, you know, going out to correct somebody, exhort them, start doing better. And that's not what it means. The word means to call near. Don't talk down to somebody. If you're going to exhort somebody, you call them near. Right near, we're brothers. We're equal brothers. Call them near to you. It means to encourage and to comfort. And it means to give a persuasive discourse. Now, if you're going to exhort someone, you're going to call them near. You're going to call them near to you. You're going to encourage them and comfort them with something concrete. With Christ. I hate this thing. Well, it's all going to be okay. God's got a plan. You know, I mean, I don't know. That's going to be good for my flesh or bad for my flesh. You know, tell somebody it's going to be all right. It typically means somebody's flesh, you know. Do you believe? Let me tell you this. It's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. The body's going to die, but it's going to be all right. But when we encourage and we comfort the hearts of God's people, we do it by showing them the Savior, by showing them Christ. We give them a persuasive discourse. And we appeal to their heart. We appeal to their heart, to the emotions of their heart. And I tell you how you do that. You don't do that by being emotionally sappy. You know, don't you want to see Mama in heaven? It's being emotionally sappy. Tell you how you give a persuasive discourse to the hearts of God's people. You know what will persuade their heart? Preach Christ to them. Tell them about Christ. Think on Him. Nothing will encourage and comfort and persuade a believer more than hearing Christ preach. Nothing will encourage me to believe Him more than to hear Him preach. Nothing will encourage me to rest in Him more, to put trust in my own works and trust in Christ other than hearing Christ preached. If you would exhort someone, tell them about Christ. And be active in that ministry that preaches Christ, that exhorts God's people with whatever talents God's given you. If it's not preaching, then find another way. God's given you some talent. Be active in using His service so that God's people are exhorted. Listen, we must be active in this matter of calling sinners to Christ. I'm not ambivalent. I just, you know, I don't on a Sunday just go home and not think about y'all anymore and not care whether or not you believed what I was trying to tell you, whether or not you believe God. Believe what I'm telling you, not maybe it don't matter. But it matters a great deal to me if you believe Christ. It matters a great deal to me. We must be active in this matter of calling sinners to Christ. Be active in exhorting one another. Now I know, and you do too, nobody's going to be saved by our efforts and our emotions in preaching. Isn't that right? Nobody, that's not going to impress anybody. That's not going to help anybody. But I'll tell you this, it's true too. I don't recall ever being blessed by a message that didn't have a lot of effort and a lot of emotion going into it. The people I like hearing preach the most are men where I get the very clear understanding they care if I believe Christ or not. Nobody can be saved by our efforts, by our emotions, but I've never been blessed by a message that didn't have effort and emotion put into it, did you? Somebody got to study over it and pray over it. And care whether people believe it. So be active in exhorting one another. And be active in being exhorted. Being exhorted. How do I do that? Well, be here. Be here. You know, this thing of being exhorted, calling near. Well, be here so your brothers and sisters can call you near. Be here so you have Christ preached to your heart, so your heart's persuaded, this persuasive discourse.
to rest in Christ. This world's been out there giving you a persuasive discourse to your flesh all week long, telling you, get busy working, and you know all the things of this life are the most important thing. Now come here to have your soul fed. Come here to hear a persuasive discourse to your heart. Put those things in their proper perspective and trust Christ. Rest in Him. Isn't that good for us? That's good for us, isn't it? Be here so your brothers and sisters can exhort you by calling you near. Be active in exhorting them, and be active in allowing them to exhort and encourage you. All right, number 5. Be active in giving attendance to the doctrine. Verse 13, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. And look at verse 16. We know what this doctrine is. Take heed unto thyself and to the doctrine. Continue in them. For in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Now give attendance to the doctrine. Now what is the doctrine? You know, doctrine singular is the doctrine of Christ. Doctrines plural, every time it's used in Scripture, is the doctrines of devils, the doctrines of men that lead people to self-righteousness and law-keeping. But the doctrine that saves, the doctrine of God, is the doctrine of Christ. And Paul tells us that you take heed to it. You be addicted to it. Now, I know there are many doctrines, many teachings in Scripture, but they all point to one doctrine. They're all part of one doctrine, all pointing to one place. There's the doctrine of total depravity. Well, that tells me to look to Christ, to trust Christ, to depend on Him. The doctrine of unconditional election and limited atonement. There's the doctrine of the powerful, irresistible call of the Spirit. The doctrine of the perseverance of the saints. The doctrine of salvation by grace alone, through faith alone. Salvation by faith without works. Many doctrines, different teachings, aren't they? But they're all teaching one thing. The doctrine of Christ. All those put together are the doctrine that tells us who Christ is and what He has accomplished for His people. The doctrine of Christ, you can preach a whole message on this, but the doctrine of Christ tells us a couple things. It tells us, first of all, what Christ did for His Father. See, before God could do something for you and me, He had to do something for Himself. Christ came to do something for His Father. He came and He satisfied His Father's holiness by obeying the law as a man, doing it perfectly. Christ came and He satisfied the justice of God by being made sin for His people and dying for the sin of His people and putting that sin away by His precious blood. In doing that, He satisfied God's justice. Sin punished. Sin fully punished in the person of our substitute. And Christ did all that to honor His Father. That was His goal, wasn't it? Father, enable me to glorify Thee. Enable me to glorify and honor You. Everything Christ did as a man, as our Savior, it glorified God's character, all the attributes of His character, and enabled the Father to be both just and justifier. Because of what the Lord Jesus Christ has accomplished, the Father can show mercy to His people, mercy to sinners, in justice, because Christ has paid for their sin. That's what Christ, He did that for the Father. Then the doctrine of Christ tells us what Christ did for sinners. You know what Christ did for sinners? He saved them from their sin completely. See, the Father chose to save sinful men and women by the doing and dying of Christ. He elected a people that He would save. And the Father didn't elect those people because they were any good, because they were any count, because they were any better than anybody else, because they weren't. You know why God elected a people to save? Because God is good. Because God is merciful. He's merciful to the worst. And if you're not the worst of sinners, let me just tell you this right now. If you're not the worst of sinners, God didn't choose you. Now, not until you're the worst of sinners. The Father chose to save a sinful people. And the Lord Jesus Christ came, and He did what His Father willed. He saved those people from their sins. Their works didn't do it. Their works didn't even help save them. Christ saved His people by Himself. Their morality didn't help do it. Their strength didn't do it. Their courage didn't do it. Christ saves His people by Himself, by His obedience and by His sacrifice. And then the doctrine of Christ tells us this, that the Holy Spirit comes
And he reveals Christ to the hearts of God's elect. He gives them faith in Christ. He doesn't speak of himself now. This is the doctrine of Christ. He reveals Christ to these people. He causes that new nature to be born in them and gives them eternal life so that they believe Christ and trust him and they can never leave him. Now that's the doctrine of Christ. That's the gospel that's preached here every week. Now give attendance to it. Study it. Put some effort into it. Put some effort into the doctrine of Christ that we preach. Now make sure your doctrine is true. Make sure your doctrine is according to the Word of God. Because God saves people in truth. With true doctrine. People say, don't preach doctrine to me. Yeah, I want you to preach doctrine to me. That's exactly what I want. I want you to preach to me the doctrine of Christ. Because God saves people with truth, not with error. So make sure you're preaching Christ. And make sure you're hearing Christ. Hearing him in person. Now be in attendance at the public worship service. Something is seriously, seriously wrong with a person who willingly absents themselves from public worship. I'm not talking about people who are sick and who are weak and they can't come to the service or they can't safely come out at this time of the pandemic, whatever. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about those who choose to stay away from the public worship service. They say, I've heard this. They say, I'll be my own pastor. Or they'll listen to dead pastors online. Well, God's not going to bless that. I'm not going to just tell you that. Without fear of contradiction, God's not going to bless that. I know so because he says so in his word. God blesses his people where they're met together, publicly. And the internet is great for those people who can't make it out. I'm so thankful for it. There's people who listen to these messages every week online because they can't come. I'm thankful for it. But now you just know it's not the same. So give attendance to the preaching of the doctrine in person. You be here to hear it for yourself. Make sure your doctrine is the doctrine. It's Christ alone without you ever adding anything to it. All right, here's the sixth thing. Don't be neglectful. Verse 14, Paul says, neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of hands of the presbytery. Now, Paul reminded Timothy that God had put a gift in him. It was prophesied that this man, Timothy, is going to be a preacher. And God put this gift in him to preach the gospel. And God gives that gift to men, doesn't he? He gives different gifts. He gives this gift to preach Christ to all of his preachers. Now, what a gift that is. What an honor it is that God would choose a sinful man to tell other sinners about Christ. What a blessing. What an honor. That's a gift. And Paul tells Timothy, don't you neglect it. Don't you neglect it. You work hard in the ministry. You work hard in study. You work hard in prayer. You work hard at seeking God's face, seeking God's message for God's people. Be watchful over them. You've got a gift. Now you better work at it. I'll give you a good example. Especially our young athletes, you'll remember this example. I went to school with a fellow, he's a year younger than me. And I don't know that I'd ever, at that time of my life, ever seen anybody more athletic than this guy. I mean, he could run like the wind. He was quick as lightning. He could jump out of the gym. I mean, every sport, basketball was his sport, but every sport. I mean, buddy, he could shoot a basketball like you would not believe. I mean, he could dunk, he could shoot the mid-range shot, the long-range shot. He could defend any, I mean, this guy was just crazy athletic. He was crazy. And you know what I learned about this kid? He is 100 times more athletic than me. And he worked 100 times harder than I did, too. He could jump out of the gym, and he constantly worked on being able to jump higher, on lifting weights and doing these things they did, these boxes and shoes and stuff to be able to jump higher. He could already jump higher than anybody I knew. He worked hard. He was fast. He worked hard at getting faster. He could shoot like nobody's business, and he worked hard at shooting better. That guy went on a 4-year scholarship and started 4 years at a Division I school. Now, he had a gift. I mean, no matter how hard I worked, I never could have done that. He had a gift, but he didn't neglect it and became really, really good. Now, that's just an example, but that's true physically by any gift you have. If God's gifted you with something, you better work at it. If you neglect it, it'll decay. I promise you it will. And this is what Paul's telling preachers. God's given you a gift and don't neglect it. Don't neglect it by doing other things when you should be working in the ministry. Don't neglect that gift by taking other jobs. Work in the Word. So you preach the Word. Don't neglect that gift by trying to correct immorality in our day. Just preach the Word. Don't neglect that gift by what Brother Henry called over-pastoring. He told me one time, don't ever over-pastor. I tell you what he means by that. It's trying to control people. Trying to control the way people live and what they do and what they don't do. Don't over-pastor. Just preach the Word. Don't neglect the gift God's given you to preach Christ by getting off on a tangent. That tangent may be something of some value, but it's not as valuable as Christ. So don't get off that tangent. Just preach the Word. Now, that's the preachers, but let me tell you to all of us. God's given us many gifts, hasn't He? And the one thing God's given all of His people is a gift of grace. The gift of faith. Now, don't neglect it. Tend to that gift by being active in the Word. By giving attendance to the doctrine. By making it your business to be in the services. By exhorting one another. Being exhorted. Don't neglect the gift that God's given you by spending so much time on earthly things that you suddenly don't have time for spiritual things. Now I know if God saved you, you're not going to lose your salvation. I know that. You do too. God saved you. You're not going to lose your salvation. That ought to make me want to seek Him more, not just be neglectful. Does that make sense? If God saved me, I know I'm not going to lose my salvation. That makes me love Him more. That makes me so much more thankful. That makes me want to be so much more active in His service. Not just say, oh, well, I'm not going to lose my salvation. It doesn't matter what I do. That's being neglectful. And when somebody neglects something, you can always tell it. If somebody's got a house and they neglect it, you can just walk by and tell. Paint's peeling, the roof is sagging, the weeds are growing up around. Somebody's neglecting that place. You can tell when a person neglects their children. Their hair's all messed up, you know. They misbehave because they're neglecting them. Nobody's teaching them. Nobody's taking care of them. And you know, that's a crime. It's a crime to neglect children. How much more of a crime is it to neglect the gift of God's grace He's given? Oh, God help us. Let's not let the weeds and the cares of this life crop up and choke off the Word, the spiritual life that God's given us, because we've neglected it. Don't be neglectful. And then last, be active in thinking on these things. Don't hear a message and go home and forget about it. Just think about it in the 40 minutes that you're here. Be active in thinking on these things. Verse 15, Paul says, meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Now, the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. God's not going to take back His gift of grace, His gift of salvation. I know that's true. But that's no excuse to take the gifts that God's given us for granted. God's given us this a great gift to have the gospel preached in our hometown. For many, 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 many years. Well, think on these things. Think on the things that you've heard. Be active in thinking on them. Give yourself wholly to them. Don't approach this thing half-heartedly. But give yourself wholly to them. And meditate on them. Far too often, it's really easy for us to meditate on you. And you just can't stop thinking about something somebody did wrong in you. Somebody slighted you. Somebody did something just hurt you or offended you in some way. Buddy, you give yourself wholly to it. You meditate on it. You can't stop thinking about it, can you? God's given us something so much better. Meditate on God's grace to you. Meditate on the wonder that Almighty God would love you. Meditate on this miracle. The Father would send His Son to be slaughtered in your place as your substitute. How many people, over the 330 million people, something like that, in the United States of America? Was there 70 people here? How many people live in this area? I don't know, a lot. How many people here this morning? A whole lot less than that. Meditate on this great miracle. God Almighty would call you and give you faith to believe His Son, to believe the gospel. Meditate on that. Meditate on these things, what you can do to help your brethren. Meditate on these things. Let me close looking back at Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Verse 4, Philippians chapter 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. Let your moderation, your gentleness, your kindness be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful, anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, are worthy, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Don't think about them other things somebody's done to offend you or hurt you. Think on these things. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Think on those things. Be active in those things. And we'll be helpful, won't we? Helpful to one another. All right, let's bow together. Our Father, how we thank you for this, your word. Oh, how we thank you for the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Word of God that you've preserved down through the years and given to us to read, have opened to us and preached, and given us some understanding and a heart to believe it. Father, how thankful we are. Father, I pray that you'd make us, each of us, believe, trust, and rest in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us take this word of instruction and be active in His service, seeking His glory, His honor, seeking the good and welfare of His people, seeking the good and welfare of the lost that do not know Him. Cause us to be active in this matter of the gospel that calls out your people, feeds and comforts and edifies, exhorts your sheep. Cause us, Father, to be an encouragement one to another, not to be a discouragement, but to encourage and help one another. And Father, cause us to meditate on these things. How we beg of you that you don't let us be the stony ground hearer where the cares of this world will so quickly and easily take away the gospel of Christ that we've heard preached. But Father, cause us to meditate on these things, to take root in our heart, that we might find our joy and our comfort, our peace, our rest, our assurance in our Lord Jesus Christ. Is it His blessed name we pray and give thanks.